Welcome to the Oscar Show, a weekly program focusing on scholarship, creativity, and research, produced by WTJU and the College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Virginia. I'm Jacob Cannon. In last week's show, we examined the work of Maury McGuinness and her perspective of class politics, social structures, and hierarchies of the antebellum South through the examination of 19th century art and material objects. In today's show, adapted from an article published this month on the Oscar website written by Brevi Cannon, we look at the work of UVA graduate student Karsten Knoll, whose research has demonstrated that the encryption used by the now ubiquitous smart card is much easier to break than previously thought. If you hold a credit card issued in the past 18 months, or use a touchless key card to open doors at your office, or ride the subway with a reusable fare card, chances are good that you have used a card or ticket with a tiny wireless security chip embedded in it. A trio of young computer experts, including UVA graduate student Karsten Knoll and his colleague Henry Plotz, presented research in December at the Chaos Communication Congress in Berlin that demonstrated for the first time, publicly at least, that the cost of breaking this wireless security are much lower than previously thought. Their research shows that a tech-savvy thief with only a personal computer and about $1,000 worth of readily available equipment could make fake high-security access cards, mass transit fare cards, and could even gain entry to cars by cloning certain wireless car keys that can open or lock the car from 20 feet away by clicking a button. Knoll said, "Security experts knew that it was feasible to break the encryption of this type of wireless chip, but most assumed that it was difficult enough to do so that the chips were unprofitable to attack. Companies that do so for legitimate purposes would charge from $100,000 to $500,000 and use research laboratory equipment, a high threshold to steal information from a wireless computer chip that is about the size of a grain of sand and cost about 50 cents. The minuscule computer chips at issue are called RFIDs, short for Radio Frequency Identification. They send and receive information over short distances via very low power radio waves. Their use has grown exponentially since 2000, and experts predict it will continue into the future. RFIDs may one day replace the ubiquitous barcode. In such uses, the information held on the RFID is often unencrypted. But in other more demanding applications, including credit cards, car keys, high-dollar event tickets, subway fare cards, and high-security building access control key cards, the RFID's information is encrypted to prevent it from being read and potentially exploited by anyone with an RFID reader device. Knoll and his collaborators broke the encryption on one particular RFID chip, the MyFare Classic, purportedly the most popular RFID chip for security applications in the world, with over a billion sold worldwide. The first barrier to breaking the encryption of RFID chips like the MyFare Classic was being able to listen to the information that such chips broadcast. The advent in 2006 of affordable, available RFID readers was the beginning of a new era of vulnerability for RFIDs. The door thrown open, experts in sophisticated security techniques used in modern computers could easily study the primitive encryption used by many low-cost RFIDs. Knoll said, "You can't consider the RFID world separate from the world of computers anymore, as manufacturers have in the past. Breaking the encryption involves several technical challenges." The team dissected the MyFare chip to reveal each layer of circuitry that make up the chip and produce the encryption. To do so, they looked at a chip under a conventional microscope and used micro-polishing sandpaper to remove a few microns of material at a time to reveal each layer of circuitry, which then was photographed. Knoll then wrote optical recognition software that combined the pictures from each layer to produce a 3D picture of the entire circuit, much like an MRI. Viewing the details of the circuit, Knoll deduced the algorithm, which defined the narrow range of keys that could unlock the encryption, allowing him to find the right key in a matter of hours. Having done that once or twice, he could precompute the possible keys and break the encryption on other examples of the MyFare chip in a matter of minutes. The team's revelations come at an interesting time. The Netherlands are rolling out a new $3 billion national transit fare system that relies on the MyFare Classic chip. In the wake of the group's research, the Dutch media reported extensively on the vulnerability of the system's smart card that stores fares and can even be linked, on request, to a customer's bank account in order to automatically reload the fare balance when it drops under a certain threshold. As a result, most security professionals espouse care cost principle, the idea that the design of all security systems should be fully public, with the security dependent only on a secret key. Public review of security designs also tends to catch flaws during the design process, rather than after the flaws are inherent in expensive systems, such as in the Netherlands transit system, noted Noel and Evans. For millions of MyFare Classic-powered smart cards used in thousands of applications, this research from Noel's group proves that little stands in the way of future security breaks. Just how many malicious hackers have done so already, or will do so in the future, is anybody's guess. You've been listening to The Oscar Show. I'm Jacob Cannon. Join us next week when our topic will be the research of UVA politics professor Paul Friedman and the questions, do negative political ads work, and what are their effects? For more information about scholarship, creativity, and research, please visit www.oscar.virginia.edu. Did you miss a show? Then go to www.wtju.net and click on Blogs and Pods, or visit www.cvillepodcast.com. Questions about this program? Please call WTJU at 434-924-0885 or email at wtju@virginia.edu.